Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. We are continuing our series of Halakhos Responsive from the Sefer of Rav Ephraim Oshri, Mima Amokim. This is a tshuva from Chelek Dalet. She'ela Tez Zayin. The question is as follows. Writes Rav Oshri, Acharei, Shemugra Zroa Resha Ve'eretz Lita Nashma L'Ravacha Kishetura Mehamone Chayilim Agirmanim Imachshema. After the evil arm was defeated and Lithuania was able to breathe freely again after it was purified from the many German soldiers, may their names be blotted out. Shemilei es ha'aretz chomas v'shod retzach v'tevach, they filled the earth with thievery and pillage, murder and slaughter. Nitfesu b'kaidana smucha l'kovna shnei rotzchim. So two murderers who had killed approximately 20 Jews were caught, and they hired a lawyer in order to defend them, these criminals. What type of lawyer did they hire, lo and behold? You guessed it, a Jewish lawyer. And of course they were willing to pay a pretty penny for his services. How did they get all these pretty pennies? Of course, that's what they stole from the Jews. And they hired this lawyer in order to defend them in their court case. So the Jews of the town, they said, "Hey, Rep Lawyer, don't do it, please. You're gonna defend a Nazi. You're gonna defend somebody who killed your Jewish brothers." However, it didn't help. And the lawyer insisted that he's going to go ahead with it and he's going to defend the Nazi. We find a similar phenomenon in the modern state of Israel. We find that Jewish lawyers sometimes defend terrorists. There, I once read an article about a lawyer, and this was the lawyer's life's work, to defend Arab terrorists. I was thinking to myself, you can't find anybody else to defend, only terrorists? But that's the reality, unfortunately. Some people have this illness, and we wish them a refuah shleima. In any event, it would be funny if it weren't so tragic. So of course the Jewish people saw this lawyer as being menuda meruchach mikal Yisrael, as being distant and excommunicated from the Jewish people, and they didn't want to have anything to do with him. However, the day comes, and lo and behold, this day always comes for, unfortunately, for most people, the day of the Yortzeit. This lawyer had a Yortzeit. So he comes to Shul, which was called Heusman's Klois, in order to daven there and say Kaddish. Because from all the shuls that were in Covenant, this was the only shul that remained. And, in case it's important for you to know, it was on Meirani Street, number 28. And with a great deal of chutzpah, he went to be chazen, this lawyer, defending Nazis. The people who were davening the shul at that time were shocked by his brazenness and his chutzpah. So not only didn't they listen to him not to defend the Rotschim, but now he wants to be chazen. So Reuven, the shamus of the shul, the beetle, I think they called him. So his libo, his chame, the kirbo, he got heated up when he saw this lawyer who wants to help the Rotschim to go free, to be saved from any punishment. He sees him going to the avod, starting to daven. He goes up to him, and without any apologies, he pushes him. And he calls out, "Say, Tanei Me'amadam HaKadosh HaZeh Gerois! Go out of here, you impure person. And don't come again, Ubal Tosif Od Lahatzik Es Kafragulcho BePesach Beis Knesses HaZeh. And don't step foot into the shul again." And all the people who were davening, they went from the shul to the neighboring room in order not to be under the same roof as this lawyer. And that's where they davened, and they left this lawyer all by himself in the shul. And he was crying, got very emotional, he felt the bizayim. "I was asked," said Rav Oshri, is it good what Reuven the Shamus did when he pushed the Orech Din away from the Amid, and he didn't allow him to be Shlich Tzibur on his Yortzeit? Is this Kedas Ukedin?" And to the people, they followed the path of the Shamus, they also didn't let him, they left the room. They left them all alone. They were mitzayrim. Did they do what's right? Maybe they shouldn't have. Maybe al pi din, he's allowed to be chazan. Let him down. So what's that halacha? Okay, so he's defending Nazis. We're not going to give him a medal. We're not going to give him a monument. But we used to have a teacher. She would say, "You want a medal or a monument?" So we're not going to give him a medal or a monument. We're not proud of him. But maybe he's chazan, and because it's his yortzeit. So let him be. So now Rav Ashuri gets to the answer to this question. I like to note that I think more important than the answers. Answers we can do any tshuva sefer. But I think here what's most important for us is the questions. The questions just to see, to think. To think and then to learn, most importantly, what was going on. What was going on in the time of the Holocaust? What went on after the Holocaust? And this is a kiyum kaful of both Talmud Torah and Zechoyim Osolam Binushnos Dor V'Dor. So says Rav Ashuri, the answer. It's always interesting after you see the question, you want to hear the answer. Think on your own, and he says, okay, so tackle. What's that level? So it says in Arachayim and Siman and Gimel, Sif Dalit, that a Shliach Tzibur has to be Hagum. What does Hagum mean? Says the Shulchan Aruch. Reka Me'averos, he has to be clean of sin, and he shouldn't have a bad name, even in his youth. He should be an Anav, should be humbled, and he should be Merutzeh La'am. And the people should want him. So I ask you, says Rav Ashuri, is this lawyer Hagun? Is he free of sin? Is he Reka Me'averos? There's no greater sin than defending murderers who deserve to be punished, and he's going to try to get them out of punishment. And then other murderers are going to see this, and they're going to say, Les din v'les dayan. We can do whatever we want. We can kill Jews and get away with it. Is he Merutzeh La'am? They begged him not to. They begged him not to be, not to defend these people. He's definitely not Merutzeh La'am. So therefore, he cannot be Shliach Tzibur. And then he quotes from Shalos and Shuvas Sefer that I'm not familiar with, called Shalos and Shuvas Eitan HaMizrachi, in Siman Mem Vav and Siman Mem Zayin. This is written in the year Tavches, which is probably, according to my calculations, in the 1648, maybe. You'll correct me if I'm wrong. So he was asked, Me'echad shehikdim lepesach chaveru balayla. A guy goes to his friend's house at night, v'harbo, and he killed him. U'milvad zos hayamud lasit v'am rabbi machzorim acherim. And he was, had a chazakah that he was doing other cruel things as well. One time he ambushed another person to kill him. And now the government has grabbed him, has caught him, and they put him in jail to judge him for murder. And we can save him by giving money. Is there a chiyuv to redeem him in order to save him or not? Me neima do we say, kevin shavitzeich ma'ayim shimakal lo yivdu, yishtamit v'yavar al daso. This guy isn't taking things lightly, he says, this murderer, that if the community doesn't redeem him, he is going to convert to Christianity, because the priests are promising him that they are going to save him from the death sentence. If he will just sprinkle upon himself those evil waters of impurity, if he will just baptize himself, they will agree to let him go. They will do everything in their power to free him. So therefore, he's threatening the Jews. Either you get me out of here, I'm going to convert. And therefore, maybe we should help him. Or, no, we shouldn't help him at all. Yechil Hashem. You're helping this Oizvarf. So that was the question that was asked in the Shalos and Shuvas Eitan HaMizrachi. To answer that, he brought the Shulchan Aruch and Chayshin Mishpat and Simon Beis Sif Aleph. That if the Beis Din sees that the people are prutzim ba'averus, that they're involved in sin, so they're allowed to judge people. Misa, mamon, onesh, they can inflict any punishment they want, even if they don't have a complete edus, because they have to, people have to know there's a law, the Tzorech Shah. They have to do something a little bit outside of the law in order that people should learn lessons, not to do so many aveiros. So Beis Din has that power, says the Shulchan Aruch. And the Ramah writes, V'chein noagim v'chom mokum sh'tu ve'ir be'iran v'veizden agodol makin v'makin v'onshin v'hefker and hefker. So the tuveir, the representatives of the city, and the Beis Din HaGadol can go to the court and they can give hakah, they can punish people, they can hit people, they can be mafkir things. And he continues that the Achronim say in their tshuvas that somebody who's chayv malchus, the Beis Din can go ahead and give malchus kafi rosa neim lemigdar milsa, according to their decision. Lemigdar milsa. What's lemigdar milsa? In order to make a fence for the matter. In other words, explains Rav Ashri, if the people are pirates, then you have to do something to stop the tide. Things are getting out of hand. So Beis Din can inflict punishment, even though normally it's not within their power to do so. But if they see that today we don't give malchus anymore, but if they see that it's necessary, then they're allowed to, if it'll stop the tide. So the Eitan HaEzrachi continues, and later on in the Tshuva is called Eitan HaEzrachi. Earlier on he's called Eitan HaMizrachi, I'm guessing. My instinct tells me that the correct name of the Tshuva is Eitan HaEzrachi, and then when the Rav Ashri writes Eitan HaMizrachi, it's just merely a typo. In any event, my sweetest friends, the conclusion of the tshuva of the Eitan HaEzrachi, based on the Ramah and the Mechaber, is that since Letzorach Hashah, you need to do things in order to get people in order, he says that's the matzav in our generation. There's so many ganovim, there's so many mosim, there's so many terrible things. And he says here there was a guy named Reb Moshe who was killed by his wagon driver. It's a terrible period, so we have to stop this. So now to go ahead and redeem such a person from judgment, avada, that's not the right thing to do. Let the goyim do whatever they want with him. He's threatening to convert to Christianity. Oh, that's not our problem. We have to worry about this Russia. He wants to do it, let him do it. But it's not our job to help such a person. The Migdar Milsa, the Beis Din even punishes sometimes when they're not supposed to punish. Generally. Here also, normally we try to redeem Jews from punishment, but this, things have been getting out of hand, there have been too many murders, there have been too much crime amongst us. So therefore, in order to stop this wave of crime, we can't redeem him. Otherwise we'll show people that, yeah, you can get away with murder, literally. So therefore, that's the conclusion of the Eitan HaEzrachi, that you shouldn't redeem him. He says, what about our case? Rav Ashri says, these two Lithuanian murderers are now being held by the police in the Beis Mishpat HaMemshalti, in the government court, and they're waiting for their judgment. And there are a lot of murderers walking around. They're going around, they're running, they're hiding, they go to South America. And this guy is saving them. We discussed the tshuva earlier on, where Rav Ashri mentions it here also, that there's dafka mitzvah to reveal where the murderers are, to bring them to judgment. So of course you know how to defend them. And this guy is defending them. Rahman al-Islam. So avada, he doesn't deserve to be chazen, because in Nerisha Tovasa Ruven Hashanah Samana Ba'ado B'tchifam Liyal Shatz Lavo Lefnei HaTeva. Ruven did the right thing, that he prevented him by pushing him away from being Shliach Tzibur. And the Tzibur also did the right thing, by leaving Shul. This guy, what does he want? He wants a few bucks. So definitely, what they did was correct. They left Shul, and he doesn't deserve it. He's selling his soul. However, sometimes as we mentioned, Rav Ashri ends up with a happy ending. Nevertheless, I visited with a number of balabatim after some time had passed, very choshev balabatim, this Orech Din, this lawyer in his office, and the Dibarti Alibo, and I spoke to his heart that he should leave, abandon his position as being the defender of these murderers. And I told him it's a tremendous Chilul Hashem that a Jewish person should go and defend these Lithuanian murderers. The Goyim are going to say, a Jew will do anything for money. And for a buck, he'll do anything. Look, so you have this Jewish lawyer defending this Nazi, these Nazi killers for a few dollars. Tremendous Chilul Hashem. And it could be that these guys killed your own family members. Think about it. And how are they paying you? They're paying you big bucks. You know, they're paying you, my sweet friend. They're paying you with money they stole from Jews. So please drop this job. Ubarach Hashem shedvarai sheyatzu min halev nechnasu libo shel orech din halozeh. Baruch Hashem, the words that entered, that left, that came, that emanated from my heart, penetrated into the heart of this lawyer, who is Stalik Milios Sanegor Larotzim Halitoim. He left his job being the defendant for these Lithuanian murderers. And every day he came to shul, nobody embarrassed him, it was gevaldik. Because Borzman Ozav is Kovna, soon after he left Kovna, ki yale lenafshu shalotzim lo yisnakmu bo. He was afraid that these Nazis are going to find him and that they are going to kill him. So the shaila was, let him be chazan on his yortzeit. The answer was absolutely not. The person is making a chilul Hashem. We have to show people that what he's doing is wrong. We have to show him that what he's doing is wrong. We have to set things straight. Just like in general, we have rules that you go out of the Shuas Hadin, the strict letter of the law, and bases allowed to punish. Here also, generally we let people be chazanim, but not this guy. And not only that, but here he doesn't even fulfill the requirements of a Shliach Tzibur. A Shliach Tzibur has to be Merutze La'am, Kandedim Wahavum, Reka Me'averos. Can this person say that he fulfills those qualifications? Absolutely not. Therefore what they did was right. And Baruch Hashem, a little bit of busha, and he was chozer b'tshuva. He cried at the time, and then after Rav Ashri spoke to him, he agreed to leave this case. And then eventually he had to run away because, the Lithuanians were going to go get him. So that was She'ela Tezvav. Now we'll continue on to She'ela Tezayin. And this is about davening for a Gentile woman who is ill. After we were zochah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had mercy on the remnants of the Jewish people to take us out of our prison, our shackles, mi beis kele yoshvei choshech, in this jail of darkness, v'chol hakasuv l'chaim ra or gadol, and anybody who was merited to remain alive saw a great light. Or chazde yeshuas Hashem loseis lam acharis v'tikva, the light of the salvation of God to give them hope for the future. Ubeinehem hayelad Yehuda shenachris achas hevi also lekihila b'kovna, and amongst the people who was zoche to see the light, who was zoche to remain alive, to see Yeshua's Hashem, was a boy, Yehuda, that a Goya, a non-Jewish woman, brought him to the community in Kovna, that his parents, Hashem Yinkom Damo, that his parents, may God avenge their spilled blood, hit him with this Goyisha woman, and in her hand, she had a letter that they had written her, and in this letter were written the address of their relatives, the Arzos Habris, in the lands of the covenant. The covenant, of course, is God bless America. The Arzos Habris, the United States of America. That's, America has a covenant. As long as America is keeping their covenant with God, God will be nice to America. But I hope America continues to be nice to us, and we'll be nice to America, and we should all live long lives. Jews in America, and America and the Jews, and everybody else in America who's a good person should have a good, happy life, and they should continue trusting in God. They write in the dollar, "In God we trust." As one rabbi once said, it's easy to say "In God we trust" when you have a dollar in your pocket. The trick is to say "In God we trust" when you don't have a when you don't have a dollar in your pocket. Anyway, I like that learner. The Arzot HaBrit, the land of the covenant. Even though we'd like to think Eretz Yisrael is the land of the covenant, but again, many countries were nice to the Jews, and we see where that left them. Think of all the great empires. The Roman Empire, the Greek Empire. So they're not doing so great anymore, but America should continue being a malchus of chesed, amen, ken, yehi ratzon. We got a little bit off the topic. So they wrote that they had relatives in the United States of America, and they asked this woman, you know, if you can help our son come back to his nation. And they really tried, the community tried to find the relatives of this boy. And they accepted him with open arms, and they gave him love and compassion, and they raised him in the spirit of his forefathers. Who is he today? Today, sweetest friends, he is Harav Reb Yehuda HaNimtza Kayom in New York. His name is Reb Yehuda. Apparently he's a Rav. Got smicha. He learned shtark. He learned chulin. He learned yerideya. And today he's a Rav in New York. Baruch Hashem, he grew up a Gittayid. So some time passed, and this Gaisha woman comes to me, and she asks me that since she is ill, and she heard that Jews daven for sick people, she's asking that if we don't mind davening for her. And she's sure that in the schus of her saving this child, the tefillah will be accepted, and she will become healthy again. So is it mutter for us to daven for Nachrim, and to say a mishaberach for Nachrim? Just to give a ma'ar makom, I don't have it with me anymore, but I remember the same question was asked in the Shalos and Tshuvos HaSeil Chorav from Chaim Dovid HaLevi from Tel Aviv. So you can look it up, as Leo DeRosha used to say. So what is Rav Ashri's answer? So he quotes a Gemara in Gitna Dav Samach Aleph Lamed Aleph, Mefarnesim Aniyei Nochrim Aniyei Yisrael. You support the poor of the Goyim with the poor of the Jews. And you visit sick Gentiles together with the sick Jews. The Kovrim may say Nachrim and may say Yisrael. And you bury dead Gentiles together with Jews at the same cemetery. You bury both of them. Bipnei darkei shalom, because of paths of peace. We want to keep the peace. In the Shulchan Aruch and Yerideh and Sinan Kufnan Aleph, Sifyot Beis, we also paskin that we're Mefarnes Aniyeihem, we're Mevaker Choleihem. We support their poor, we visit their ill, we bury their dead, we eulogize them, we console their mourners because of Darkei Shalom. And in the Shilas and Shuvas Chaim Biyad and Simon and Aleph, he writes that if a goy does business with a Jew, and the Jew makes money, so he's the Jew's allowed to daven that he should get better. He's also allowed to give tzedakah in his behalf, and there's no problem of los sechanim, and the Sefer Chasidim as well. From Yehuda Chassid, he brings that it's mutter to daven for a Nachri. And in fact, we see in Jewish history that there were cases of Rabbanim and Tzaddikim who daven for Nachri. And Darkei Shalom, the question of what Darkei Shalom means. Does it mean to keep the peace in order that they shouldn't get angry at us? Or does it mean no, it's something very positive, that we want to have peace with them, and we love them? Or is it just to avoid trouble from them? And obviously there'd be an afgamina if they wouldn't know otherwise. So is it still a mitzvah? If it's to keep peace, so then they don't know. It's not going to make it more peaceful. If you give them stucco privately, then no one knows. Matan b'seser. But if it's because we love them, we want to live peacefully with them, and it's a good thing, and we're caring about them, so maybe even if he doesn't know, so that makes for a better society. Maybe. Maybe, maybe, maybe. Maybe there's something positive. Maybe that's not enough to mean, and one could argue. In any event, So, concludes Rav Oshri, based on the Shu'at Chaim B'Yad, based on the Gemara Gittin, based on the Sefer Chassidim, the Benidam Didan, Vaday, the Mutter L'Spal, Lavu Anachus Hazos, definitely it's Mutter Dam for this Goya, Ve'en Kamishim Lo Sechonim, there's no Isser of Lo Sechonim, which the Gemara defines in Avodah Zarah, as Lo Titein Lehem Chayim, you're not allowed to give them gifts, you're not allowed to praise them. So you're not allowed to sell them karak in Eretz Yisrael. So, but here it's no problem. No problem of giving them gifts. You're allowed to daven for them. Why? You have to have a karas hatov. She saved the Jewish boy, Harav Rabbi Yehuda of New York. And she took them out of the impure hand of the cursed Germans. It's mutter to daven for her and to say I'm a shaveirach v'chein horesi lasos, and so I paskin to do. I heard a story once from Rav Hirshel Schechter Shlita, which he said is documented, that Rav Aaron Cutler was trying to save Jewish children from the Holocaust, and they were in Italy. I think they had escaped to Italy, and he was trying to get them out of there. So he was doing everything he could, and he found out that the only way he can really help them is if he gets the mafia involved. So he had to speak to the head of the mafia. So they set up a meeting with the head of the mafia. He said, "You know, I need to save these Jewish children. Please help me." So he saw this holy rabbi, Rav Aaron Cutler, Rav Aaron Kadosh Hashem. He's a holy man, Rav Aaron Cutler. So he wanted a bracha from Rav Aaron. He said, "I'll save the Jewish children for you if you give me a bracha." What is Rav Aaron going to give him a bracha? "You should have Yiddish and Nachas. you should be Megago Banim and Bnei Banim, Oski B'Torah B'Mitzvahs, Talmid Chachamim. V'zakeini L'gadel Banim U'Bnei Banim Chachamim U'Nevonim O'Yavei Hashem Yirei Elokim Anshei Emes Zera Kodesh Bahashem Dveiki Meirim Es Olam B'Torah B'Masim Tovim." What is he going to give him a bracha? What is he going to give him a bracha? So Ryan says, "I bless you for helping the Jews." And he helped. They got out, Baruch Hashem. "I bless you that you should die on your bed surrounded by your loved ones." That was the blessing. Because the guy's in the mafia, you never know when you can get a bullet up between his eyes. You can get a bullet. Ben Einecha. Now view the Totofos, view the bullet, Ben Einecha. That was the bracha he gave him, Azai. V'kachava be'emes. Kachava. He died on his bed, surrounded by his family. He was never killed. Many years later, a car pulls up in Lakewood, and all these guys dressed in their fancy suits, they come out, and they see, "We want to see Rabbi Aaron Cutler. We want to see Rabbi Aaron Cutler." So, Aaron Cutler's no longer with us. So they said, "Well, what happened? He died. So maybe somebody else is holy, maybe his son." So, I don't remember exactly how they asked, but anyway, they said, "Alright, the son is here." They got him a meeting with his son, I guess, Rav Schneier. And it was the son of this mafioso. And he said, "Your father gave my father a bracha, a blessing. My father helped the Jews. So I want you to give me a blessing as well. Then I should die in my bed surrounded by my loved ones." So, in fact, he gave him the bracha. And to this day, when Rav Schechter told the story, he said the guy's still alive. So the bracha's still been mekuyam. So you see that the koach of a bracha. Koach of a bracha. And also in certain circumstances, that's the right thing to do. So we should be zochem mitzvah Hashem, the car of mamish. That we shouldn't, should be a yinu kecholmen. A yinu kecholmen, tayri yidin. The whole galus. Recently I had a ha'ara in the pshat, in the pasuk, in Shir HaMalos. Azim alis chok pinu a yinu kecholmen. שירה מעלס בשוב השם, השיב עשינו, היינו כחומים, אז ימלא ישחוק פינו, ולשוננו רינה. What does it mean, היינו כחומים? So recently I dreamt, maybe בהשבס, these שיעורים, that I was taken to a Nazi death camp, a work camp, a death camp, usually it translates from work into death eventually. And I'm in this camp, I'm thinking, boy, this is the worst thing that has ever happened to me in my life. I was completely despondent. I just didn't know what to do with myself. I said, I can't believe this. I can't believe I'm in a Nazi death camp. This is a true story, meaning it happened, my dream. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of my dream, I said to myself, maybe it's only a dream. Maybe it's only a dream. And it's not real. And I said, no, it can't be. It's too real. It's too real. I'm feeling it. I'm experiencing it. Eventually, Baruch Hashem, I woke up, the Raya is that I'm talking to you now, and then I saw that I was, Baruch Hashem, safe in the old city of Jerusalem, only a stone's throw away from the Beis HaMikdash. If you have a good arm, if you have a good, Willie Mays, maybe Willie Mays could hit hit Har HaBayis from my apartment, from the roof of my apartment. But, probably not, probably a little bit further. But Lamaisa, there I was in the old city, comfortably ensconced, I like that word. And I said, Baruch Hashem, not a Nazi death camp. I was very happy and I was very relieved. That's really a better word, relieved. And then I thought to myself, at the time it seemed so real. And now I'm just, wow, I'm here and I'm healthy and I'm alive and I have children, I have a family, I'm not going to die, I hope. At least not anytime soon. No Nazis, no death camp. I was thinking, maybe that's what it means, Lasid Lavo. When the Mashiach comes, we're just going to look back on this whole gullus. I want to say it was like that dream. Yes, at the time we felt it. At the time it hurt. In my dream I felt it. Ooh, did I feel it. At the time when the Jews have been suffering throughout the generations, we felt it. But it will seem after the fact, after Mashiach comes, and especially when we see how everything really was all to lead to this time, to the perfection of the world, and it was really all for the best, and we're going to only be able to say Atov Ameitiv. Everything is going to be good. There is going to be no dynamis like the Gemara says. It'll just be like a horrible dream. But then all over, and then this is real. That was only a dream, all that gullus. And this, the gula is real. Like it says in the pasuk, Uverega katon azavtich, Uverachamim gedolim akapzecha. I once heard a pshat. And then I was reminded of the pshat, because on Purim, somebody gave me in their Mishloach Manos a card with this pshat on it, my neighbor of Kof Shtok Shlita. What does it mean? Berega katona zavtich, rega, barega. For one moment I abandoned you? One moment? 2,000 years of suffering? Of Chorba Bayis Rishon, we had Chorba Bayis Sheni, and we had all of the Inquisitions, and the Crusades, and the pogroms, and the Holocaust, and just, it's been one long bloodbath, our history. What do you mean, rega katon? 2,000 years since Chorba Bayis Sheni. What do you mean, rega katon? It's just been a moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu abandoned us. It's been a very long time. Has it been a moment? But what Yeshayo Anavi is telling us is uverachamim gidolim akapzech. Compared to the rachamim gedolim, this is only going to be like a rega. So if this rega has been so long and so difficult and so painful and so sorrowful until this day, and all the nebuch, the people with cancer and the suffering children and the accidents that we have, and so many tsaras and the orphans and the widows and all these terrible things, everything altogether is only considered a rega compared to the rachamim gedolim that's going to be la'asid lavo. That's going to be such a rachamim gedolim. It's going to make everything here seem like a rega. It's going to be so much greater, so much more powerful. If this is rega katon, if this long gullus is only considered a minute, imagine what HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers rachamim gedolim. But rachamim gedolim, with great mercy, I'm going to gather you in. I can't imagine what that's going to be. If this is a rega katon, imagine what the rachamim gedolim is going to be. Wow, wow. So we should be zochem et Hashem b'karov l'kiyum divrei ha'pasuk uv'rega katon azavtich uv'rachamim gedolim akapzeich. Amen, ken yiratzon. Shalom, shalom, sweetest friends.